is go.
Thank you, this is go.
PTC is go.
Copy, this is go.
Houston flight is go.
Polycom.
STM is go.
Safety comp is go.
STE is go.
LRD is go.
SRO is go.
CDI is go.
Launch director, NTD, our launch team is ready to proceed at this time.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Site Patriots has a message for liberals and the mainstream media.
You can't handle the truth.
So, buckle up, snowflakes, because we're about to deliver the politically direct best in conservative commentary, news, and investigative reports. We're telling the truth, and we're not gonna stop. Okay, liberals, back under the bridge with the rest of your fellow trolls, and oh yeah, thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots.
They are special, special people
on RSPRadio1.com. Welcome to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot, Diane Sorey at the Patriot Factor. It's the Friday night edition of the show, 3rd of September. Hello, Diane.
Hello, Craig, and how are you today?
I'm good. I'm going to have a busy weekend. Busy, busy, busy.
Getting ready for your new puppy.
Yes, I have to puppy-proof the house.
That's always not fun.
Well, and I'll tell you, it's been a number of years. It's been 8 years since I had a puppy in the house. I got a big full-grown dog, 85 pounds worth, but when she was a little puppy, we did some puppy-proofing. But, she was so good. She never really caused any problems. She was not destructive at all. Now this little goomer that we're getting, I have no idea what to expect.
Okay, you'll find out.
He's a little black lab puppy, so
he's not going to be so little when he grows up.
No, he's not so little now. He's the biggest one in the litter. So
okay.
We'll see. I might wind up with a couple of 85 pounders, but I will tell you this. Many years ago, when I still lived in Lincoln, I had a black lab, not fat. Mm-hmm. He was not fat. He was all muscle, and he weighed 130 pounds.
Wow.
Yeah, he was a monster. He was huge. He was just huge. And I'm looking at this little guy going, oh, please, no.
No. Oh, God. I think Susan will throw you and the dog out of the house.
You know what? I'll tell you what. This is funny because I'm a dog lover from all the way back when I was just a little kid.
Mm-hmm.
I did not engineer this. You would think it would have been me. It wasn't me. It was my wife. Susan engineered this whole thing. And I didn't raise any objections. I'll say that.
Okay. Well, at least you have a decent sized yard for the puppy, who's going to be named Barkley.
Yeah.
For the puppy to run around in.
Yep. Yep. And by showtime next Tuesday, he might be in this office with me.
Ah,
it all depends. I mean, if Susan's home, he won't be in the office. But if Susan's not home at showtime, he's going to have to be in here because I can't trust him out in the rest of the house by himself.
Oh, well, in that case, he's allowed to bark during your segment, but not during mine.
Right. We'll see how that works out. We'll just see how that works out. Folks, I'll tell you what. It's Friday night. It's the 1 hour version of the show. And we've got a bunch of stuff to talk about, including, of course, a little bit about Afghanistan. But we've got other things, too, that we have kind of pulled, from news and things, stuff that Diane and I have been talking about for the last couple of days. But I've also got one that I'm going to save for the end of the show. I need about maybe 10 minutes. Diane doesn't know anything about this. She doesn't know I have this. Now, I don't know. We haven't talked about it. I don't know if she's heard about this or if she hasn't.
But well, chances are I have, but
it could be.
I'm sure of that.
Could be, but it's something that you and I have not discussed.
True.
Okay. True. I mean, not only, I mean, this has not come up in general conversations that Diane and I have had over the last few days.
If it involves space, chances are I've heard of it.
Nope, it does not involve space.
Okay, so that should be interesting than what it is.
But I'll tell you this, folks, when you hear it, it'll piss you off.
Oh, what did Uncle Joe do now?
When you hear it, it will piss you off. I'm telling you that right. I need about 10 minutes or so at the end of the show for this one.
Okay. I got an idea what it might be, but okay.
Okay. But let's start with this. You mentioned Biden. Okay. Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit about Biden's approval ratings because they're sinking faster than the Titanic.
Yes. They keep going down and down and down. And right at this point in time, folks, including Democrats, as in meaning including everyone, he's only got a 36-point approval rating. He has dropped 10 points since this whole Afghanistan fiasco started.
Now, that's among 36 is among independents, I think. Okay? Overall.
Oh, yeah. The decline is principally due to the independents.
Right.
And just 36% of the independents approve of the job he's doing. But altogether, only 43% approve.
Now, I'll tell you a couple of things why that is so staggering, okay? This is not a Fox News poll. This is not a right-wing poll. This comes from PBS and NPR.
Yes.
Ooh, wow.
Yes, and why it's so important is Biden, for the 2022 elections, he cannot afford to lose the independent vote. He's already losing the Democrat to some degree. If he loses the independent, chances are we'll retake the House.
Well, it's going to be very interesting to see, you know, over the next year, how these approval ratings shake out, but they've been going down and down and down. And at this point, I don't know what he does to get independents back. The problem for the Democrat Party, the liberal Marxists in this world, they have no coattails to ride on.
None. But you know what? The numbers get even worse. Out of all the adults polled, and they're saying 41% of U.S. adults, including 82% of Republicans, strongly disapprove of the job Biden is doing. That's worse than any numbers.
That's horrible. I mean, it's funny in a way, but it's horrible for the party. It's horrible for him.
I could care less.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm not upset by that, but...
Well... In fact, 71% of all adults polled think that the war in Afghanistan, what Biden has done is a complete failure.
It is a complete failure.
Yeah.
It's a total cluster, you know what?
Exactly. And it couldn't happen to a nicer guy.
No kidding. But, you know, it's interesting to see this poll because, you know, normally if bad poll numbers come out for a liberal president, they blame it on right-wingers and, you know, that's a Fox News poll. What do you expect? Well, NPR, PBS, I mean, that's their rank and file.
Yeah. So this is really serious. In fact, I was watching some past interviews with Uncle Joe from even the time of the primaries. The man was totally out of it even then.
Yeah.
And this gives more credence to the fact that the party hierarchy knew he was not up to the job and yet pushed him on the population because they knew they can control him.
Well, and I'll tell you something else that's kind of interesting about this. Yeah, well, sad but true. I'll tell you something else kind of interesting about this is Kamala Harris, her poll numbers aren't any better. In fact, in some cases, they're actually worse than Joe Biden's. And the Democrat Party is trying their damnedest to keep her invisible right now.
Well, they have to keep her invisible because, you know, in the end, folks, while she's probably more dangerous than Biden, we can't afford her as president because we know Obama is pulling Biden's strings, and we know he's going to do the same with Kamala Harris. But being that she's got her cognitive abilities left, she could actually be more dangerous than Biden.
She could be if she were of a mind to be independent and call her own shots, but she doesn't have the wherewithal to call her own shots getting out of a one-car parade. So
no, you know, she has no qualifications to be vice president, let alone president.
Well, yeah, and so, I mean, it's just going to be another puppet show down the road. Mm-hmm. Obama's still going to be pulling the strings, you know? I mean, that's just the way it kind of works out. But they're trying so hard right now to keep her away from the press, keep her away from the public. You know, they sent her all the way to Vietnam to get rid of her.
Yeah, and you know, while she's back, she's probably, you know, working with Obama behind the scenes. Tell me, what do I have to do? What do I do with this? What do I do with that?
You know, you make a great point, Diane. What do you figure? They're prepping her, even as we speak.
Exactly. Either Biden's going to be forced to resign, or he's suddenly going to get sick, or he wants to spend time with his family. I mean, McConnell already said he's not going to, you know, go for impeachment because the impeachment would never go through. However, the House is only held by a pretty slim majority, as is the Senate. There could be enough Democrats that are so worried about 2022 and losing their positions that they might actually side with the Republicans.
It's a fair point. But remember, always, lurking out there in the shadows is the 25th Amendment.
Exactly. Yeah. And they pushed this 25th Amendment knowing right from the beginning that it would be tested with Biden.
Tested? How about employed?
don't be so sure it's employed.
I think it's going to happen. I do.
I think he's going to be forced to resign, sort of like Cuomo.
Well, I said it before. I said it in an article a week or a week and a half ago. They will offer him a deal. You will either resign.
He'll get his place in history as being elected, and he'll kind of leave with his head up if he resigns for medical reasons.
Right. You either resign or we're going to use the 25th. It's your choice.
Right. And then he goes down as, you know, not of his right mind. That will be his legacy. But if he resigns for health reasons, he understands he's not up for the job and he's stepping down, which kind of saves face in a way.
Yeah. So that'll be the offer. Okay. I feel so confident that is going to be the offer. And I would not be surprised if that doesn't happen before the end of this year.
I think it's going to have to because he's going to kill the Democrats' chances in 2022.
Exactly. Now, let's flip the script here and let's look at somebody who is elevating the Republican and conservative chances, and that just happens to be, Diane, your governor, Ron DeSantis, who has filed an appeal. He lost a court case just the other day, but now he's filed an appeal, and it all has to do with mask mandates in schools.
Exactly. I mean, he is a strong believer, and so am I. Parents should decide what's best for their children, not bureaucrats from the Board of Education. It should be the parents' choice if their child is going to be masked for 7 or 6 hours, however long the school day is, for the day. Because, you know, masks, yeah, everybody thinks they're so great. They're also disease carriers. They also, remember, you're breathing in carbon dioxide, the very thing we're supposed to be exhaling. The masks actually is a barrier. It comes back into you. And I don't want to hear the stuff, well, it goes out the mask. Well, guess what? If it goes out the mask, COVID comes in the mask.
Yeah.
You know, so he's fighting this tooth and nail, and he's and Kristi Noem are, you know, the golden children now of the Republican Party, and rightfully so.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see how this appeal plays out. The lower court said, well, you overstepped, you overreached.
Right.
You know, and DeSantis doesn't think he has, and he thinks the law is actually on his side. Otherwise, I don't think he would have filed an appeal.
No, I don't think he would have either. And I actually think the law is on his side, because we have a thing down here in Florida. We say that the school day, the teachers, they're not supposed to be babysitters. They're supposed to be teaching. Well, you can't teach effectively if your children can't breathe in the class because they're masked up. You can't teach effectively if all these stupid rules, oh, well, each desk has to be 6 feet apart and this and this and this. You're creating an atmosphere for children that is not conducive to education.
Well, part of the reason for that is because it's very distracting. I mean, if you're wearing a mask and you're constantly fidgeting with that,
right,
and you're, like you say, you're socially spaced from your classmates, it's a major distraction for kids. And if kids are you know, upset, if they're bothered, if they're annoyed, if they're having trouble breathing, you're right, they're not going to learn.
Right. And what DeSantis is doing, he's hitting it with the fact that these mandates from the CDC, of all things, are not really science. They're not facts. They're made up science to fit a political agenda, not the actual science. And one case in point of that is if you take a mask, one, especially by children, and you, let's say, do the microscopic tests and all that, you're going to find E. coli on there.
Sure.
You're going to find other such nasties on there. Why would you want your child to breathe that stuff in? You're going to find rotavirus on there, which is the horrible vomiting and virus disease that elementary school kids come down with quite often. I mean, the science, there's political science, and I don't mean political science in the way that you and I think of it, but there's the politicalization of science, and then there's science fact. And DeSantis is going by science fact. And I think he has a good chance of getting through his thing. In fact, a lot of parents are not following the mandates.
Well, and good for them. And we're seeing more and more of that around the country.
Right. Look, you know, the bottom line is, Craig, we've had enough of COVID.
Well, parents are pissed. They've had enough. They've had enough of letting the system dictate what their children do and you know, all that. But I'll tell you something else. And this is not getting a lot of play. I haven't heard very much of anything. about it, but it's been a pet peeve of mine for a long time. You know, for the last decade or so, well before coronavirus, I mean well before coronavirus, our society has gotten to a point where we're de-germifying everything. Oh, you know, we must sterilize everything for the children. Well, you know, when you do that, when you're constantly using the antibacterial wipes on everything and antibacterial soap and antibacterial this and that, and you know, I've seen parents go into restaurants and pull out those antibacterial wipes and wipe down the silverware before they give it to their kids. You know, here's the problem. If kids aren't exposed to germs, they build up immunity to nothing.
Yeah, well, you know what? I can even use myself as a case in point. When I was a kid, I got dirty. I played outside, the whole nine yards, right? I would get 4 or 5 colds a year. You know, typical colds, typical things kids get. As an adult, since 2004, I have not had so much as a sore throat, a cold, earache, anything. Why? Because I was exposed to these things as a child.
Right. It makes a difference.
You build up natural immunities. I knock on wood every time I say that, but it's true. You need to be exposed to things. Medically, you need to be exposed to things to get your immune system working, especially the all-important T cells. You don't get your immune system working, you're going to come down with everything.
Well,
as an adult, which is not as easy to get over as when you're a kid.
Well, and even as a kid, though, if your whole world is sterilized every day, and trust me, I know in schools, after school, custodians, and this has been going on for years, again, before COVID, they go through and they wipe down everything with Clorox wipes and you know, all this kind of stuff. You know, if kids aren't exposed to germs, they are going to catch any bug that comes along, even the ones that normally would do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a fact. Mm-hmm. It's just going to happen.
Well, you know, you can look at it this way. Meningitis, which is a very, very serious disease.
Yeah.
People lose arms, legs, whatever. The increase in meningitis happened with the dawn of the antibacterial age.
It did. It did. A lot of kids get that, teenagers get that, and they're dead in 24 hours.
Right.
You know, and that's a horrible thing. Okay, so we got about, 6-7 minutes left in this segment. We've got one segment to go after this. So let's talk for the rest of this segment about jobs numbers. Diane, those job numbers came in, and weren't they grand?
Oh, they were wonderful. It actually, what's not wonderful, it's terrible news for our economy. However, it's great news for our party for 2022. They expected 235,000 jobs created in August.
No. They expected 720,000.
I'm looking at a thing that says weaker than expected. 235,000 jobs were added while the unemployment rate dipped 0.2% from July to 5.2%.
The expected
job growth would have been 500,000, but it was even weaker than what they expected at the 235.
No, they expected 720,000. They got 235,000. That's a 500,000+ difference.
You're looking at a different report than I'm looking at then.
They expected 720,000 jobs in August. Okay, it came in 500,000+ short at 235,000. Now, you mentioned this is horrible for the economy, and it is. It is absolutely a stinker for the economy. But, and I've brought this up on shows over the years, you know, one of the primary bellwethers that you need to look at if you're looking at the economy and where the economy is going to go is consumer confidence index. And sure. The consumer confidence index has been sinking and sinking and sinking for the last 7 months.
Yes. Well, we're getting, we're both looking at different articles because I'm getting different numbers than what you're saying. But that really doesn't matter because the bottom line is we're tanking with Biden at the helm.
And you know, the odd thing about it is Biden comes out today and he says, well, you know, I think states ought to, you know, keep going with the unemployment thing. Well, you know, what happens is, you know, Biden is basically admitting we're using unemployment figures as a false leader. You know, because as long as people are collecting unemployment, they're not looking for jobs.
No, of course not. We actually have a 2 million surplus of jobs in this country waiting to be filled and no one to fill them because people think, you know, they get more money by having their hands out.
Well, and they are getting more money by having their hands out, and that's exactly. Got to stop. A lot of states have cut it off. A lot of states have said that's
enough. Florida has cut it off. We were one of the first.
Florida cut it off. Nebraska Texas. Is cutting it off, I think, this weekend. Texas cut it off. I think South Dakota is, they either cut it off or they're in the process of cutting it off. But that kind of crap's got to stop because until people go back to work, these jobs numbers are going to be pathetic. And let me tell you something, 235,000 jobs in the month of August is pathetic.
Yeah, especially because this is key vacation season, folks. And the biggest loss was in restaurant and hotel jobs, which are key in vacation season. So that says a lot right there.
Yeah, the hospitality industry relies on seasonal workers in most places. And right. It's been dismal. I know up in South Dakota, they have a huge tourist season up there in South Dakota during the summer, you know, mid-spring through basically through mid-September. They have a huge tourist season, and they've been scrambling up there like crazy to get hospitality workers, hotels, motels, restaurants. They've got a lot of casinos up there, you know, on the Indian reservations in South Dakota. They've been scrambling to get enough people to run those things. It's been crazy.
People don't want to work. It's easier to put your hand out and have the government take care of you. And that's a main problem in this country.
Well, and I'll tell you the where that really shakes out. It's those of us who are working are paying for those who aren't. Mm-hmm. And there's more and more people deciding, I don't need to work. Other people are doing it for me.
Exactly. We're in bad shape now, folks. And it's all because someone who did not win is sitting in the White House.
Well, and you know, you combine this. You look at the poll numbers, okay? We talked about that earlier in the show. The poll numbers are sinking. Jobs numbers are sinking. Consumer confidence is sinking, right? All of this is going downhill. And we are basically a year and a couple of months away from a midterm election. That's not good for the Democrat Party.
No, and this is one of the most important midterm elections we've had in decades.
You think of all the economic gains, all the GDP gains, all the jobs gains, everything that Trump put together in 4 years.
Tax cuts.
Biden has squandered it all in 7 months.
Yep. 7 months, folks.
That's unreal.
That's amazing.
That is amazing.
4 years of hard work destroyed in 7 months.
Yeah. I mean, it's stunning when you think about it. It really is.
It is. It's sad.
Well, it is. Folks, look, we've got plenty more to talk about, including coming up at the end of the second segment tonight. Something Diane and I have not discussed, and I guarantee it's going to piss people off. Okay. I 100% guarantee it. So, folks, stay with us. More Right Side Patriots after this. You're listening to Right Side Patriots Radio, the best in conservative commentary, news, and talk, where we do away with the politically correct nonsense and give you the politically direct truth. This is the home of Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern with Craig Andreessen and Diane Sorey. We're working to make this country great again from the right and leaving puddles of melted snowflakes on the left. Thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots, your best bet on the internet.
You're listening to RSPRadio1.com.
Hi guys, Diane Sorey from The Patriot Factor on thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, where I found a home base 7 years ago after becoming one of Facebook's longtime Facebook felons, or so I've been told by the Facebook gods. On my blog, you will find not only my articles, but our Right Side Patriots investigative reports, as well as stories and links to and from well-known writers and bloggers, plus what I call almost daily memes, my snarky take on news of the day. And for more great takes on the issues of the day, check out the National Patriot at thenationalpatriot.com, where you can read Craig's insight into all the current news happenings. And join us both on Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. EST at RSPRadio1.com.
Welcome back to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot, Diane Sorey at the Patriot Factor. If you miss any part of tonight's show, become a pod person. It's easy to do. You go to rspradio1.com tomorrow morning, click on the podcast button, and thanks to Podbean, there we are.
Yes.
Gotta love our pod people. That's building up fast.
Yeah, it is. It really is.
Love the pod people, love the Facebook people, love the MeWeers, and can't say I love the LinkedIn people anymore. Diane and I have both been booted off of LinkedIn, so.
And damn proud of it. We're in good company.
We are. I didn't sound upset, did I? Because if I sounded upset, I didn't mean to.
Oh, well, let me just throw this one little thing in about the jobs numbers.
Yeah, yeah.
Guess what Joe Biden claimed was the cause of the bad job numbers.
Let me just take a wild shot in the dark at it. COVID.
Okay.
COVID.
What?
COVID.
Specifically, the Delta variation of COVID.
Oh, surprised it wasn't racism.
Shh, don't give him any ideas.
Yeah, I know, really. Okay, so next up, we got to talk about this, because this is bizarre. Folks, you all remember when President Trump got impeached for having a phone call.
Mm-hmm.
He had a phone call with a foreign leader, President Zelensky from Ukraine. You know, no big deal. Everybody got the transcript. No big deal. But he got impeached for it anyway. Well, Diane, Joe Biden had a phone call with the now former president of Afghanistan, President Ghani, and things didn't go so well.
No, they went very bad. In fact, Biden actually wanted Ghani, instead of understanding what was happening with the Taliban, and believe me, he probably understood it well, he said that Ghani has a perception problem. There's a perception problem around the world being perpetrated about the Taliban's strength. In fact, Biden actually told Ghani there is a need, whether it is true or not, to project a different picture. In other words, he wanted Ghani to lie about what was happening in Afghanistan.
Well, Ghani knew very well what was happening in Afghanistan because apparently Ghani told Biden the country is being overrun.
Right. Right. And Biden did not want that getting out.
Oh, no. No, everything has to be all unicorn farts and rainbows in Afghanistan, according to Biden.
Well, you know, if you remember, President Trump was impeached over a phone call. Well, it's time maybe that Biden is impeached over a phone call.
Well, the White House
is... But it's not going to happen. We know it's not going to happen.
The White House is running away from this thing faster than Usain Bolt runs 100 meters.
Yeah, well, what's even funnier is, okay, Reuters reported on this. Town Hall reported on this. Fox has reported on this, but there's been no mention about it from CNN, MSNBC, ABC, CBS, or NBC. None. They're like glossing over it. Now, a couple of reporters tried to bring it up at numerous press conferences, and they've been shut down.
Well, Jen Psaki, let's go back to the Trump impeachment on the phone call with President Zelensky. Jen Psaki, who was part of the Obama White House, right? Jen Psaki came out right away in that thing, and oh yes, Trump must be impeached for this phone call. You can't have a phone call like this and not be impeached. Oh, she was emphatic about it. Well, she was asked in a press conference about 2 days ago about this phone call between Biden and Ghani. And she says, well, we're not going to discuss a personal phone call between leaders.
Oh, really? Bunch of hypocrites.
Holy crap. She was the first one to come out when the Trump administration at first, when the whole thing started with the Zelensky call, she was one of the first people to come out and say, we must know what was in that phone call. We must have the transcript of that phone call. That must be made public. Well, you know, the Trump administration went ahead and made it public because there was nothing wrong with it.
Well, you know, it's actually even worse than that because what Biden did in his capacity as president of the United States, he had a call with a foreign leader where he asked the leader to lie on his behalf, of course, and promised military assistance if he did.
Wow.
That, folks, is extremely serious.
That's bad. That's bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and of course, Ghani didn't do it, and we all know what happened.
Right.
But Ghani saw it coming, and he told Biden. That means Biden knew. Biden knew what was happening.
Of course he knew.
He knew.
Even if his own people were hiding it from him, Ghani himself told Biden this.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, and that makes it even worse.
Right. Right. And Biden, well, besides, well, kind of going along with this, is I really think we need to touch upon a little bit Biden's reaction when the 13 servicemen and women came home for their final trip home.
Oh, that was horrible. That was disgusting.
You know, these members of the military were killed in the line of duty. And according to the military, now the Gold Star families said all Biden wanted to talk about was his son, Bo, because Bo was in the military. However, the big difference is Bo died of brain cancer years after leaving the military. His death was not military related in any way, shape, or form. And here are these grieving parents who want their children to be honored for the jobs they did and the lives they gave. And all Biden wanted to do was talk about his son. If that's not a slap in the face to these Gold Star families, I don't know what is.
Well, I give you another slap in the face.
Watch.
Yep. Think about this, folks. Biden took a knee for George Floyd, made a big photo op out of it. For these 13 service members that were killed in Afghanistan, he looked at his watch.
Yeah. And the mainstream media now is trying to say, oh, no, it was the prayer beads he wears for his son. No. If you blow those pictures up big, he is looking directly down at the face of the watch. And a number of those families spoke up to the press and said during every part where their particular son or daughter's casket was taken off the plane, he kept looking at his watch, almost like going, oh, God, I wish this was over. I wish this was over, you know, straight down the road.
The media is
trying to cover for him.
Can I make an analogy?
Sure.
It's kind of Biden's version of Michelle Obama, all this for a damn flag.
Yeah. Remember that one?
At the 9/11 memorial?
I was there that day. Yes.
I mean, it's the equivalent. It's the Biden equivalent.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Obama had no business being there. That was for the 10th anniversary, guys. There was a big thing down there, and I was down there, and it was a disgrace. People were booing Obama.
Good.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was an absolute disgrace. I mean, he was on via big teleprompters and teleprompters, whatever you call those giant screen things.
Yeah.
He had no business being there.
No.
And neither did the moo.
All this for a damn flag.
But yeah. This, now here it is. We're withdrawing in defeat thanks to Biden. And he can't even honor the 13 that he is responsible for their deaths. I don't care how you want to paint it. That man is responsible for their deaths. And now it's 14 because one of the wounded died.
You know, in about 7 minutes, I'm going to throw a can of gas on your fire.
On my fire?
Yep, because you're pissed about this, and rightly so.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I think any right-thinking American is pissed about what happened to those 13, now 14, military service people over there in Afghanistan. I, in about 7 minutes, will throw a tanker truck full of gas on your fire.
Does it have to do with Pelosi?
No.
Okay, well, let's tell the people about that. They wanted, in the halls of Congress, they wanted to read off the names of those service members that were killed. Pelosi would not allow it.
Wouldn't do it.
Would not do it. That's beyond despicable. For that alone, not allowing us to honor those who gave their lives, but you can honor that piece of garbage, George Floyd.
Well, they all went out in the Capitol Rotunda. Criminal? Yeah, they all went out in the Capitol Rotunda, Nancy included, and took a knee for George Floyd.
Yeah. Yeah, but was a career criminal? I don't care what anybody says. That is the fact. The man was a career criminal, but for the United States service members who gave their lives so that others could be free, she wouldn't even allow their names to be read. That is an insult to their families, to our military, and to this country.
I will not even begin to disagree with you on that. Yeah. That's a hideous situation. I mean, it really is when you think about it, because
it is.
I mean, I don't want to hear boo diddly from any of these cretins. You know, oh yes, our hearts bleed for the family. No, they don't. No, they don't. No. If you really felt anything for those 13, now 14, who were killed in Afghanistan, you would have read those names out loud very slowly, very deliberately.
Exactly.
You know, you would have read their names. You would have read where they're from. You would have read a little something about them.
Mm-hmm.
But to block the reading of their names in the House of Representatives, the People's House, the People's House.
Right.
Despicable.
Absolutely despicable. It's one of the most despicable acts that Pelosi and crew have committed.
And they've committed a lot, so that's saying
exactly.
A lot.
But this one is right there towards the top, if not at the top. So I just think this country is in trouble. If we don't get these people out in 2020, I don't know what's going to happen, you know, in the 2 years till 2024.
It's frightening, isn't it?
It's very frightening.
I mean, it's a dire situation at this point. It's no longer simply a political situation. It is now a dire situation for the survival of the nation.
Exactly. Well, Craig, we're getting to that time. Why
yep.
don't you throw whatever that is that you want to throw at me?
Okay. Folks, I'm hoping you're sitting down.
Okay.
Okay. Because this is going to, it's going to light your hair on fire. It's going to piss you off. You're going to be incensed when I tell you this. All right. Diane brought up just a couple of minutes ago who is responsible for the death of those service members in Afghanistan.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Joe Biden.
Right.
Well, this comes from an interview with Univision. Okay, with a gentleman by the name of Roger Pardo Maurer. Now, he is a former U.S. Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Western Hemisphere Affairs.
Okay.
He held that post from 2001 to 2006. Okay, so that was under the George W. Bush administration. Mm-hmm. Now, because of that position, he is still in a position where he gets some intel reports.
Sure. Okay.
And according to him, I mean, this just infuriates me. It's even hard for me to read this. But according to him, okay, not only did the U.S. Department of Defense under Joe Biden know who the Kabul airport bomber was, and not only did they know when the attack would occur, and remember, mm-hmm. there was all these warnings, imminent attack, right? So they did. They knew exactly when. But a U.S. drone had a lock on the terrorist who carried out the bombing, and they were denied the right to fire on him.
Okay. This comes as no shock to me, because I actually got this report either yesterday or the day before. And this man, highly, highly respected. So there is credibility to what he is saying, folks. Total credibility. This does not shock me that this happened, because now I'm going to shock you with a little something. Because the Afghan interpreter who saved Joe Biden's life when he was a senator and went to Afghanistan, he has been left behind.
His name is Mohammed.
Yes.
He saved Biden and a group of other senators that were stranded in a snowstorm in Afghanistan. Mm-hmm. And the Biden administration's turned their back on him. Now, Jen Psaki was questioned about this gentleman, this Muhammad, this interpreter, a couple of days ago. And her response just about had me break my television. She said, well, we would like Muhammad to know that we are very grateful for what he did in 2008. What?
Yeah.
And you're showing your gratitude by turning your back on the man now, he and his family, or targets?
Yeah. He was begging to get out. And they could have gotten him. They could have gotten him and his family, and they turned their back on him. That's why what this officer said, this commander said, I, for one, believe it.
I mean, think about this, folks. They knew when the attack, when that suicide bomber was gonna strike. They knew who the suicide bomber was, and they had a lock on him with a drone. They requested permission to fire on the guy before he set off the bomb. The Biden administration said no. And why? Apparently because, and this is a quote from Pardo Maurer, because we were in the process of negotiating with the Taliban, who aren't even in control of their own government or their own people.
Right. Right. And all Biden's response was, after our service members were killed, oh, don't worry, we'll retaliate, we'll retaliate. Really? Craig, have you seen any retaliations except one other drone strike that killed, you know, two people?
Two planners?
Yeah. That's going to make up for our military men and women and the close to 200 Afghans that were trying to escape this country? That's going to make up for their deaths?
Hardly.
I don't think so.
I want to know who in the hell issued the no-fire order.
I heard it was Biden.
I don't know if it was Biden. I don't know if it was that General Milley. I don't know if it was that idiot Lloyd Austin. I don't know who the hell issued the no-fire order on that Predator drone. Okay,
I got but they another had a, name that comes to mind.
Who?
Obama.
Could be. I mean, I've said all along that these generals, the brass, are taking orders from him.
Yeah, they're still loyal to him. Milley's got to go. I mean, that
Milley's got to go
news all the way around.
Milley's got to go. Lloyd Austin's got to go. Mm-hmm. You know, that idiot that's running the Pentagon show, he's got to go. The spokesman guy, he's got to go. I mean, all this brass has got to go. They're useless.
They're worthless. They're not going to. That's the thing.
You're
unless
right.
There's an across-the-board loss in 2022.
You knew when it was coming. You knew what was going to happen. You knew who was going to do it. You had eyes on him. You had a lock on him with a damn Predator drone. But, oh, no, don't fire. We don't want to offend the Taliban.
In other words, those 13 people plus the one, the 14 now who has passed, every one of their deaths is on Joe Biden's hands.
Let me add
to
that.
Is covered in blood. It's Benghazi revisited.
Let me add to that the over 100 Afghan civilians that were killed in that suicide bombing.
Including children.
All of that blood is on him. All of it.
How about the one service woman that was killed who had just given birth to a baby before going over there? She'll never get to see her child grow up because of that man. I don't know how he lives with himself, and the only way I think he does is because he is not mentally astute. I think, you know, when you've got that kind of dementia, you can block certain things out.
It's either dementia or it's the simple fact that he just doesn't give a crap, period.
Well, you know what's sad about Biden? I never liked him. I always knew he was full of crap. He was another just greedy, power-hungry politician. But I never, until this thought of him as a traitor, not like I have always thought of Obama as a traitor. I have never thought of Biden in that respect, but I do now.
It's hard not to.
It's hard not to.
Even though we know Obama's the one that's pulling the strings, even though we know this would be a typical move of Obama, okay, Biden's the facade. He's the one out front. It's his team. I mean, you would think that somebody with a bunch of brass hanging on him would have said, we got to take this guy out, and done it. But no.
And by the way, all this brass all over these generals, what did they get it from, for, I should say?
Being woke?
Yeah. I mean, being woke. I mean, there hasn't been enough of that type of combat to warrant that kind of brass on their suits. Or am I missing something here?
Well, I mean, look, there's been all sorts of combat. I mean, good Lord, we've been in the war on terror now for, 20 years.
But to warrant that kind of,
I don't know. I don't know what they're handing out ribbons for these days.
Being woke.
I mean, maybe you get a ribbon for not offending somebody. Maybe you get a ribbon for not giving your troops any ammunition, because we had that going on for a while.
Or learning the naval knots to tie your troops' hands behind their back.
That could be it, too. I mean, that's kind of an offshoot of a knot tying merit badge from the Boy Scouts.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you get a ribbon now for encouraging boys to be girls and girls to be boys. I don't know.
No. You don't know anymore. Woke culture itself has destroyed our military, or is trying to anyway, and is destroying not only our country, but simple common sense. Anyone that believes there were 57 sexes needs a checkup from the neck up.
No kidding. Yeah. No kidding. I mean, look, the other day I went back and I was looking at some old pictures of Dwight D. Eisenhower when he was commanding the troops in World War II, right? And right after World War II. And yeah, he had some ribbons, right? But nothing like these guys today.
No, not at all. And here's a funny analogy with that. Okay, we're supposed to believe there are 57 genders. Guess how many states Obama thought there were?
One for each gender, as I recall.
Yeah. I mean, this. If people can't see Obama's hands all over this, I don't know, what do we got to go around bitch slapping everybody? Wake up, wake up, wake up.
Well, you just point me in the right direction and tell me where to start.
I'd like to start with Nancy Pelosi.
That's a double flying bitch slap right there.
Right. And then move down to AOC and Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar, who really should be kicked out of this country.
Maybe we just put them all in one straight line, do a run-by bitch slapping.
Ah, okay. I like that.
It'd just be like, quack, 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 quack.
Right. We can go in roller skates and just, let it go straight down the line.
Yep. Sound like if we do it hard enough, it'll sound like a Gatling gun going off.
Wait, they'll come and get us for you used a gun. No, we didn't, but we heard it. I mean, it's gotten to the point here now, folks. We are a laughingstock on the world stage. Biden yesterday saying he's going to leave no town left behind after the hurricane. He's going to repair this, 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 and this. Is anybody going to believe him after he's leaving our people and our allies behind?
I mean, if I was one of those cities or towns that got hit by Ida, right, and I heard Biden say, we will leave no town behind, I'd be terrified.
Well, you know what terrified me today? When AOC came out and actually blamed Joe Manchin for all the damage in New York, the flooding caused by Ida. And her reason given was because he is holding up the passage of the $1 billion, $2 billion, whatever it is, infrastructure bill, money that we're going to be paying for the rest of our lives. He's holding it up. So AOC actually had the audacity on television to say the flooding, everything is Manchin's fault.
Right. Right. Because if they would have passed this $3.5 trillion deal 6 days ago, New York wouldn't have been flooded.
Yes. What? They could have changed the weather, Craig.
All it takes is tax money. All you got to do is throw money at the weather. You can change it all.
Yeah.
Jeez,
it's all
Louise.
Part of the woke culture, folks. It's just destroying this country.
Bunch of morons. Folks, we've reached the end of the show. We sure thank you for being here with us. If you missed any part of it, rspradio1.com tomorrow morning, podcast button, and we're going to be there. I think, Diane, we have covered a lot of bases tonight. We have covered a lot of different topics that we haven't been able to talk about for the last couple of weeks.
Right.
And Tuesday, what do you got coming up on Tuesday?
Basically, at this point in time, it's sort of like a roundup of Afghanistan for me, but I think I can actually prove that Obama is pulling Biden's strings.
Well, and
not with supposition, folks, but with some facts.
And I'm delving into Afghanistan again as well, so we got that coming up on Tuesday. Next Friday, a week from now, another talk show, and we hope you'll be with us for both of those. But Diane, we've reached the end of this one.
Yes, we have. So I'll say nighty-night, folks, and have a great Labor Day weekend.
Have a fine weekend, folks. We'll see you on Tuesday.